All right. Hi, I'm Nikolaj Zborski from Google. I'm going to go over like the recent attacks on SSLs pretty much since the protocol came out. So SSL is a great term. It's used for protecting your browser session, and we trust it. So we're going to go first about an overview of SSL, and we'll go over different categories of attack. I'm not going to focus only on cryptographic attack because actually with HTTPS, we want the whole environment that's important for us. Not just like one cryptographic functions, it goes all the way to the UI and makes the possibility of how the web, the different possibilities for a website to implement things. So just an overview, like SSL is pretty much used as an intermediate level in HTTPS. On between TCP and HTTP, and that's how you get that additional protection, like security, protecting like confidentiality, integrity of your data. So I guess pretty much like in the case of a connection, when you want, a user wants to go connect to a site, it's going to go directly to connect to a site, get a server certificate, verify the certificate against a base of CA, possibly verifying, making additional verification with OCSP or fetching a CRL. Then, depending on this result, it will go display on the, for the user some warning that the user can opt in to move ahead because he feels really secure or not. And then establishing the secure connection and fetching the data over HTTP, and then send back the result to the user. So the handshake protocol itself is the client sending a client hello to the server. The server respond. The client hello includes like what the client would like to be, like kind of cipher he'd like. The server responds to with this is the cipher you are going to use, and this is my certificate, and maybe you need you are going to show me your own client certificate, optionally. And then the client is going to respond and provide the required element. Finally, the server is going to finish the initial handshake, and we switch to a record protocol and the HTTPS connection, as we know it, with HTTP that's wrapped. So the cryptographic attack, there have been like numerous, like started with man-in-the-middle possible in the handshake. Then, so pretty much in the initial handshake, it was possible for someone to have a man-in-the-middle and just switch to a different type of cipher. And if we switched from a good cipher to a very weak cipher or down to like a null cipher, this caused a problem to your confidentiality. So that been resolved like a long time ago. Same thing, like possibly like truncation attack, like fairly similar. Possibly having weak message integrity, so where someone would be able to tweak the message, like just being a MD5 signature. And the overall problem of weak cipher used for export, where until not so recently, you were limited to a 56-bit cipher when you wanted to export. So actually, a lot of those issues were present in the past, but now been fairly well cleaned up. So more recently, the issue of TLS renegotiation, where it was the capability of TLS allowing you to renegotiate in the middle, renegotiate to a different cipher, ask for client-side certificate, for instance, within a connection to a website. Unfortunately, the clever attack on it will allow people to inject data. So there's no possibility to fix it directly. So pretty much the only possibility was to disable completely renegotiation and then force secure negotiation both on server and client. If in a new version like TLS 1.2. So Beast attack was another attack that was going to do a man-in-the-middle attack against the browser and be able to extract information. Like you'll be able to extract like cookie data. So switching, whether that's inherent to block cipher and the only mitigation was to switch to RC4 stream cipher.
For the fixed it,
and got fixed. So other type of attacks are like side channel attacks, where you take a page, you switch you send a request from your workstation to a server, and an attacker is going to get the page, get the encrypted data. From it, it's going to be able to analyze like page behavior and have a statistical profile, and from statistical profile, be able to deduce the type of content on the page. So more permissive attacks are on the certificate itself, on the PKI. So what is a certificate? Like, as you can see, most people, when they have the curiosity to look in certificate, that's what they see. They see some website, and some this certificate is valid with green, so it means it's good. If you're more curious, you can look at the details, and everybody in this room should absolutely know every line here. It's very simple and clear. So basically, certificates are defined with X509. And within X509, there's like multiple fields and possible extension. And X509 is very flexible, allowing you to add anything to it. Be really future-proof. You can add images. You can add videos if you really insist. And one of the elements of X509 was a basic constraint. So for instance, when you're on the site, when you get an SSL certificate from a certificate authority, it will actually specify that this certificate cannot be used again for signing. This is an end certificate, only for server, you cannot reuse it to sign. So in the case of if you have a chain of trust with certificate authority, intermediary certificate, and your final cert, thanks to the constraint, you are not going to be able to reuse it. Unfortunately, some implementation of, I guess, on Internet Explorer allowed people to reuse that certificate to sign again and would not verify the constraint. So another type of attack was a non-byte attack. Like the X509 uses replant string with an IF5 representation, which is basically similar to Pascal, where you have the length followed by the string itself. Unfortunately, most browsers are using done with C, C++, and the representation for string is with null terminator. So as a consequence, it was possible just to insert a null terminator in the middle of the string. The CA would still give you a certificate for the full string, but the browser itself would only would do for the string copy function, but will stop at the null byte and just display use a website here being paypal.com, even if you actually were on the paypal.com 0LEIM in that case. Another category of issues with HTTPS are the numerous UI issues. So for instance, like what's wrong with this page? It looks like a fantastic page, right, for PayPal. It's time to type your username and your password. There's no problem. The only issue here is that actually this is one page. It's just one page with some other content inside that looks like another page. But most people think it's just multiple frames from their browser and are not going to pay attention to the difference. Another common issue is a lock. So what kind of magical lock, padlock, do you want to protect your security? You want like silver lock, you want yellow lock or golden lock? You have the choice, and it varies. So you have like a representation of a different version that were used all over. Pick a favorite. And then same problem for the location. Where's your trust indication? That's critical for your user. So it can be pretty much anywhere inside the page, like in the URL bar, the left side, right side, slightly off the URL bar, and there's no standard at all. Then came a clever invention for EV certificates, where we taught people to trust the green, because green is safer. So you have a fantastic green bar that will give you like better trust information on your certificate. So the certificate were required a stronger verification process due to the fact that the prior verification process got weakened a lot over the years. Then comes the dialogues, the different dialogues that are possible to tell people that there's a problem, the certificate. So multiple size, multiple text, and it changes throughout versions. There's no consistency across. As you can see, there's, and anyway, the text is most humans cannot understand it. So even with this, even with those security dialogues, there's even possibility to make people click without them knowing. So one attack, for instance, against Firefox was with click jacking, where you just iframe your SSL, your spoof certificate. You just get the user to click on it. So you just make you hide it. You had to ask the user to click on the hamster, and here we go. You bypass that mechanism. So, but Firefox go down and remove the possibility to do that on iframe. But similarly, there's a big problem with mobile UI. So, for instance, like simple people are used to, mobile UI are fairly small, so people are used to things being compacted and moved away. So it's possible to have a browser, and your browser, you just say, move with using JavaScript, you move further down the page. And when you move down the page, you lose a URL bar. You get your new URL bar that's green, so it's secure. Even more, people are used to apps, so in apps, you don't need to have a URL bar, so it's just full screen on your app, and it's Bank of America, right? Another question is around the lock spoofing. So I guess an open question, like which one is secure, which one is encrypted or not of those two pages? To Firefox, you see that like we have locks. We have a lock here, we have a lock there. Which one's the right one? They look very identical. And yeah, in that case, that's a UI for HTTPS in Chrome. And the other case, it's a 5 icon that's added. So now, harder, we switch to Safari. So in Safari, you have the different possibility. You have here, it's like a nice padlock. And the other case, so it's nice padlock, but the other case, it's like a little padlock in the corner. And which one to trust? It's a little padlock in the corner. So the UI for trust is definitely like hugely incoherent around the browser's version platform. It's relatively complex for an user, confusing, and finally spoofable anyway. So last category of attack, like more mixed content attack, where you're getting a different type of trusted content inside your window. So you have the downgrade attack, the downgrade vulnerability where you have a page, like say HTTPS page, that's going to include some insecure content. And the other category is to the opposite, where you have an insecure page that includes a secure content or form. So the browser have caught on the first category, in the sense like they got fairly strict about mixed scripting, not allowing people to include insecure script inside their page. On the other hand, in the case of upgrade, it's totally possible for a website that tells you to log in over HTTP to have a login form over HTTPS. You post to a HTTPS endpoint. You train people to trust the HTTP page. Nothing can happen. And you get into SSL strip type attacks, where in the middle, like the man-in-the-middle attacker is going to replace the link over the HTTPS link by HTTP, and then be able to capture everything and post on behalf of the user. Another type of attack is the sidejacking attack, where a client tries to go to a server and just going to redirect the client to go to another website, capture cookies, and then redirect to the real website the user wanted to go at. So kind of like a feature of HTTP, of feature of your web browser, it's going to send the cookies whenever you ask him to. And over HTTP, you don't have any protection. So I guess the future, what, where are we going with all that? Like one thing actually that's fairly warming is the update cycle. We've a lot of browsers now gotten onto the, finally on the idea of updating fast and quickly, which didn't used to be the case. Now you get fairly quick release, security vulnerabilities are fixed extremely fast. So that takes care of a lot of problem, like cryptographic problem and base problem of the browser, because they just get updated. Same thing for server, people are much more recipient to it. There is some regulation that force people to not stay vulnerable for too long. So it's getting in good direction. Then people should definitely use the available security mechanism, like secure cookies and so many other mechanisms that are around. The UI definitely leave to be desired on the unification, like all the different experience for the user, for at the end asking them to make a trust decision. And finally, maybe you should default to much more secure. The same way as mixed content is be like a mixed content script are now being blocked by default and force the user to manually approve them. Maybe push for the opposite of the secure flag, have force people to add an insecure flag or not display the page, but insecure. We can only dream. So yeah, that's pretty much for the quick slides. Thank you.
This one's, oh, there we go, good. You're gonna love my slides. They're blue. So let me take the temperature of the room a little bit after hearing all that. I'm curious how you all feel about HTTPS. So who here thinks that HTTPS and SSL and TLS is all fine and we don't even need to be here? Talking about this. Not a single person. Oh, I guess I have to talk some more. Okay. So then who here thinks that HTTPS is generally pretty good? We don't need to worry too much, but we should keep patching problems as they come up. Both. Protocol and implementation. We're talking about the whole system. So there's a few people that think it's pretty good and we should just keep Band-Aids on it. Okay. Who thinks it's mostly broken? But we're hobbling along and we're getting some value out of it, so it's okay for now, but we gotta figure out what to do next. All right, okay, so who here is really pessimistic and thinks it's a piece of garbage and we should all go home and think of what else to replace it with tomorrow? Nobody's that pessimistic, really? Wow, usually there's one person that's like, oh, this is total bullshit, I don't like it. But that's good, you're all optimistic to the point where we can actually address the problem. So. I'm not going to go into too much depth about any of the technical bits of SSL or HTTPS in general, since I think the biggest problems are more social. They're more oriented around the process by which we delegate CAs, the process by which trust kind of flows like tributaries through the internet, sometimes breaking the dams, and the process by which we get consumers' confidence that the thing they're using is okay. So one of the most kind of compelling situations that I worry about, that I don't have any direct evidence of actually happening, most of the things I worry about with SSL are precisely this. I don't see it happening, but I'm worried that it could, is a compelled certificate creation attack. So a while back, a co-author and I wrote about this attack that's pretty widely discussed, but hadn't really been written down very clearly yet. The gist is this. I run a CA. I'm an American company. And the government comes after me and says, hey, I need you to create a cert because I need to spy on some traffic of potential terrorists. Now, substitute American CA for any CA and the US government for any government. And this is a problem that can happen, right? As long as there are laws that allow this trust to be broken, then the whole system totally breaks down, right? The difference between this and wiretaps when police are looking at investigating a criminal or something is that, for the most part, any CA is trusted unlimitedly on the web. It's not just a single wiretap of a single phone line. It's a wiretap of the entire internet. And that's what keeps me awake at night sometimes. So the question is, what do we do with CAs, right? Well, we can empower websites to do more to say who they trust. So a site can say, I trust, for instance, VeriSign to issue certs for my site, but don't trust anybody else. And there's a variety of technologies out there that, if implemented, will help out with that. Certificate pinning, DNSSEC, things like that. We can unify the user interface, as he was talking about here. The problem with that is a lot of software companies like to differentiate on their user interface, and so unifying it becomes a sticky issue. We can try to educate users about what's going on. And we all know that that's the easiest solution, right? Okay, I've got nods. No, I'm actually joking. This is really hard. Like, many computer science experts out there sitting in this room don't fully understand the little corner cases in SSL, myself included. Like, I don't know what kind of technical attack's going to come around the horizon. I don't really fully comprehend the entire system, how it works. I don't want to have to think about it. I just want to go on eBay and sell my bike and get some good money for it. So what this really boils down to is a number of really fundamental problems that may or may not be deal breakers here. I mean, my point of view is that for the most part, what we've got is kind of working. We should work with it. We should not throw it away and start over. But there are some things we need to address. For example, there's lack of transparency in the system. It'd be really nice if there was a way to investigate who is saying that this channel is encrypted and who issued the cert, and there was a nice clear public audit trail. It would be nice if I could predict how many CAs there are in the world without doing an exhaustive crawl of all websites and writing things down, because I don't have all of the servers that Google does or that the EFF Observatory has. This lack of transparency kind of yields an unknown feel about really where does the trust go? Where can it come from? How many different CAs can issue certs for sidstam.com? I have no idea. The second thing is there's a lack of statefulness. So SSL does have state. Okay, so I was just kind of glossing that over. But the whole thing in general, from one connection to a site to another, a browser or an operating system doesn't really remember what it saw last time. And it can learn from that. It can say, okay, well, the trend has been I've been getting certificates for this site that look kind of like apples, and now I'm getting a cert that looks like a banana. This is a little shady. It's turning into fruit salad. Probably don't want that. We could leverage that recording of state to do some more interesting things, perhaps. And then there's a question about trust circles. Right now, all CAs have unlimited access to grant or issue certs for any websites they want. Maybe we can reduce this into a few smaller trust circles. So when a CA behaves badly, if you know they're hacked or something like that, because that's when they'll behave badly, right? Then their ability to misissue certificates can be contained into that smaller trust circle than the entire internet. I think this is one of those levels in defense in depth that's really important, is containment. I think, for the most part, the biggest problem that I have with the existing system is the difference between authentication and encryption. Sometimes when we talk about HTTPS, we say, oh, this site is actually this site. Sometimes when we talk about it, we say, your channel is encrypted. And the users sitting behind the keyboard don't really differentiate between the two. They want to know whether or not they can interact with the site. Is it safe? And so when addressing problems that we see in the system, we have to step back a little bit and say, okay, is this an encryption problem? Is the channel insecure? Or is it an authentication problem? And to what extent are we actually representing what we know about the site to the user. So the point of EV was to validate a little bit more about the connection, say the entity you're connecting to. We want to make sure that when you connect to Bank of America, it's actually Bank of America and not some website that just happens to be issued a cert for Bank of America or some very similar domain name. And so that's kind of a step in the right direction. But the barrier to entry if you're a small site is really high. Like, am I going to go out there and allow a CA to investigate me and pay them a bunch of money in order to get an EV cert so that when you go to my website, it's like, this is actually Sid Stam Incorporated? Probably not, especially since there's not really that much interesting stuff on my site. But we have to be really careful when we represent the quality of a connection as trusted. Does that mean it's secure? Does that mean it's authentic or both? And do we need both? What do consumers think? So it sounds like I'm posing a lot of questions here because there are a lot of unknowns. What do we need to do? But for the most part, what we have in HTTPS is a nice platform of reasonable encryption and reasonable security. And if we can continue to solve problems as they come up and maybe add some more security to HTTPS as a system, we can get into a better place where we don't have to talk about it as regularly. So that's all I've got. And our fearless moderator is going to take it over and bring us into Q&A. Right, fearless moderator? So please, any questions?
So Sid, as much as I love you, I think you got nearly all of that wrong. CAs, as much as they are... Oh, sorry, Adam Langley, Google. CAs, as much as they are the whipping boys of these sorts of discussions, I think most people in this room, given 24 hours, would not end up with a certificate misissue for a site. However, most people in this room could do SSL stripping attacks easily. And most people in this room could run off a mixed content attack against users easily. And nearly everyone in this room, given a list of 10 sites, would find one of them that gets their insecure cookies wrong. So while I agree that we need to address the CA problem, I think in order of priority, the problems are SSL stripping, mixed content, and secure cookies. And the only answer we have to SSL stripping is HSTS. And the HSTS list is not looking impressive after many years of me standing up at every conference and going, you should use HSTS, and going to every financial institution, you should use HSTS. Because we have exactly one financial institution in the HSTS list, and it is a bank in .mt, and I'm not even sure where .mt is. Mixed content, any user running Firefox or IE will get owned by mixed content in seconds because you don't block mixed content by default yet. Right?
We have a patch.
You have a patch. When's it going in?
As soon as it gets reviewed.
Excellent. And then lastly, secure cookies, because they fail openly and silently. All the sites get the secure cookies wrong if you actually look. And if you just induce the browser to make an HTTP request, then off go the cookies and you're dead. So I would urge people not to concentrate too deeply on CAs, because as much as the CA infrastructure is terrible, the problems are actually much worse.
You should actually sit up here since you disagree with me. All right. We've got a drive-by disagreement.
I mean, you're welcome to come back to me on that.
I see your point of view. So what do we do about HSTS? Nobody's adopting it. So do we need something new?
I mean, if anyone has any ideas of what's new, then absolutely. But I think the best we can do about HSTS is stand up at conferences like these and wave our arms and shout, everyone should use this. This isn't quite the right conference, but there are, you know, organizations like the PCI DSS who can set standards. And that's the only reason we got bank sites to deploy HTTPS, right, is because they got required. And I think fighting that fight is probably the most worthwhile thing we can do for a given unit of effort for web security.
I don't disagree that it's important. I totally do agree that this is the wrong audience for that. Yeah. I want to come up with new ideas of ways to fix things that we aren't exactly sure what we can do with. Why don't we go for the first question?
Yeah, I want to say that I think you've been mixing a bit a few different issues, okay? The issue of certificates is not really a problem as I view it of HTTPS. And it is true that there are things to be improved there. There are things that we don't trust on the CAs. The current situation of the application in browser, in the applications of HTTPS, of the PKI is actually much less than what we should have. In particular, we don't use naming constraints. That's really what you have referred to, right? I mean, you said, why do we have the situation that one CA can actually give certificates for every other place? And that's just because naming constraints have not been used. Now, if we are talking about the risk to the user, to the end user, then, and we are trying to provide better tools to the end user, which I think is a good goal to have, then probably certificates are just part of the answer, and the real thing will be complementation of the certificates by browser side user controlled limitation of the public keys that you use. These things are not new; they've been proposed long time ago. Yes, even I've done it several years ago already. In proposing that we look at, you know, how much the certificate, how much do we know this public key, and so on. These things can be done. They can be done in client software. They don't need to change the protocol. You just need to change the client in order to take advantage of them. So if people care about security, they should adopt this. That's all. So I would hope browser vendors should gradually adopt it. You don't need to change the protocol for that. You don't need to have a new protocol or even a new certificate in order to have additional mechanisms to validate your public key. That's all. So that's one issue. You should separate the issues. Okay. And you mentioned the issue of authentication versus encryption. That's a usability issue. I don't think that users care about the difference between usability and encryption. I think that users just want to know that their site is secure. What is required for a site to be secure, that should be something that the site designer should understand. They shouldn't use encryption if they don't need to for efficiency, because then, you know, we can have caching and so on. But that's nothing to do with the user. We shouldn't have any user interface to reflect this. User interface should be simple, not made more complex, okay? So separating the issues, separating the problems we have with certificates, separating the problems we may have with the protocol itself. Because the first question you ask, do we have a problem with HTTPS or with SSL? That's a very different problem than the problem of certificates. Okay. We may have problems. That's something to work on, to improve the protocol, to analyze it. That's very different from solving the problem of trust in certificates and so on.
Thanks for your question.
I agree a lot the thing on the user side. Like what counts at the end is what a user is going to do. And I think a very wrong thing right now is we separate like the notion of normal site, which is okay, and secure site, like when you really need trust. Well, the real state is you have the secure site, which protects you actually, and the totally insecure wildland when you're over HTTP. Like anyone around you in this conference could have spoofed any HTTP page. And people totally forget that, because the web was based of HTTP, and HTTPS got slapped on top of it. And it helps in those cases, like financial scenario, login, and all those. But at the end, the default people still see is HTTP. They don't clearly see that HTTP is insecure. And maybe by pushing that notion further on, it will actually help the adoption for people to be pushed toward like secure, more default by security in a browser and inside the servers. So.
I think there's a lot to unpack in that question. It sounds to me like it does make sense to sever problems with the protocol with problems with the implementation, where the implementation includes certificate authorities, the PKI, all that stuff, user interface, things like that. So yes, there are some problems with the way sites deploy HTTPS imperfectly, right? And that's exactly what Adam was talking about when he came up and completely disagreed with everything I said. The really interesting thing to me and why I focus so much on the PKI and the certificates and certificate authorities is it's part of the usability problem, right? Can sites effectively use certs? And then how do users know when the certs are not being used effectively? We could start enforcing and requiring things like name constraints, but the path to deploying that across the web is it's unclear. Like, for example, who will have the ability to issue certs for .com? Everybody? Now .com is just a free-for-all, like we currently have on the entire web. So that's one of the biggest things that comes up as a barrier when we're trying to figure out how to make HTTPS more usable and allow users to make better informed choices about the security of a site. I'll just stop there. Panelist number three.
Since he's not here, I'm going to channel the spirit of my colleague, Ben, and say that if you are going to talk about certificates, and I think the best answer is certificate transparency, which we have been slowly pushing. The idea being that if you make statements about public websites, that statement should be public. And we can enforce that by having the CAs record their certificates in an append-only log. And of the many ideas that have gone round in the past few years about dealing with certificate authorities, for a bunch of technical reasons, which I won't go into right now, I think certificate transparency is the only one which is viable. But it does require the cooperation of CAs. So basically, I'm just giving a pointer to that. If anyone is interested, I've given you the phrase that you can Google. And I think that will, although it stops attacks in retrospect, it's an audit system, nonetheless, I think it will dramatically improve the level of trust we can have in our CA system without blowing it to pieces and trying to come up with something new.
Yeah, I just wanted to address this issue of trust. So you said that CAs cannot be trusted, and DNSSEC could solve this issue, but because CAs are often controlled by governments, but who do you think controls the DNS? For instance, the .com domain.
So to be clear, I didn't say CAs can't be trusted. I say the things that worry me is that a CA who can be compelled to issue an intermediate cert by some opaque organization that you don't know anything about has complete power to wiretap the entire internet. I think we have to trust CAs because they're our trust anchors, and for the most part, they do a really good job. But there are some things that keep me up at night.
How is it different from DNS then? I mean,
it's not.
DNSSEC
can help somebody who controls or has comfort in controlling a domain to say which CAs can issue for that domain. But in the end, the organizations that run DNS and the organizations that run the biggest CAs aren't that different, right? I see your point, but there are a lot of CAs and there are fewer registrars.
Jeremy Clark Carlton. Sid, you mentioned like at a high level that SSL doesn't maintain a live state between connections, and we can maybe explore options for maintaining more state. So this is something I thought about a lot too. And I guess there's sort of a trade-off involved. Like if you look at the protocols that implement states, like whether it's pinning or DANE or keeping track of previously seen certificates, like using certificate patrol or something like that, tacking within the convergence system. The problem with it is once you start locking things down, it's very inflexible. You can't change them. It's hard to, you know, go back on once you pin something down, it's hard to revert that. And the other problem I worry about is the potential for abuse. So if I can insert myself into some connection when this state is being communicated to the user, if I can insert myself at that point and I can put a whole bunch of very restrictive state on it such that the server can never actually, can never meet the criteria, like pin it down so much that they can't meet the criteria and there's no mechanism to override it, then that can be dangerous in and of itself. So I'm just wondering, where's the balance between, like currently there's essentially no state, but it's very flexible and there isn't these paths to abuse. If you start locking too much down, it seems that there's other problems that emerge too. So I'm just wondering where the right sort of point is.
That's a really good question. And I think
everything you said is absolutely right. The more state we record and rely on for HTTPS connections, the more dangerous it becomes. There's a bootstrapping problem, like you mentioned. I have to make sure that the first time I connect, I'm not compromised. And then there's also the backing out problem, right? And there's a lot of other problems that come with a bunch of crufty state as well, and so we have to be really careful what gets deployed. Ultimately, I think it has to be a combination of things. I'm not exactly sure what, but we'd be shipping it if I knew exactly what. But I think sites are in a really good position to say how much they know about their state that won't change. For example, if a site wishes to pin because they're really confident that their certs won't change, then go for it, right? But a site that doesn't have that same confidence can be less likely to want to pin, and maybe they shouldn't be required to do that. And so it's kind of like a self-selecting state. If I want to have a little more enforcement of the state of my connections for my users, then maybe I should, but it shouldn't be required web-wide. At the same time, also, some of these systems can measure the amount of flux in the types of certs and the CAs and the types of connections that happen on a website, and that can be really valuable. But it's statistical, right? Things could change in the future. So we have to be careful. You're right. I don't know where that line is, or, you know, hey, we'd be shipping that.
Yeah, well, actually, like in the case of having a different profile, my concern with it is like how you present that information to the user. Like if you it's already complex and confusing enough, and start to have like multiple possible states, like this website has a policy a bit more relaxed, the other one not, you cannot connect anymore, that's likely to bring even more confusion to the user who is not a security researcher, who has absolutely no clue about security, most cases. Just being trained to see like that padlock with green means it's safe. I can put my credit card number.
That's right.
I can, from a purely detailed point of view, I can tell you right now what the specs say. You identify two problems. How do I break this if I've gone wrong? And what if someone else has spoofed this information and is basically running a DDoS? The answer to the first is that we're saying that you can present a hash pre-image to break it, called literally a break code. And if you lose that hash pre-image, then you're screwed. But you can break it in one shot just by saying, here's this thing, I've previously given you the hash of it, here's the pre-image, you can validate it, disregard everything you've previously known about me. The second one, in order to avoid people being DOSed by spoofing, is that we will only enforce for N days if we have seen this site tell us for the previous N days what the policy should be. So if there is a problem and someone spoofs this for one day, they can only bring the site down for one more day. If they can spoof it for a week consistently, they can bring the site down for a week and so forth. So we ratchet up, once we've seen it several times, up to 30 days.
You really should just stay up there, Adam. So I have a question, you know, I'd like to hear your opinion on, as well as the panel's. We're talking about the encouraging the adoption of secure by default technologies like HSTS. I'm curious what the panelists think of the proposal for a dot secure zone with an associated policy framework in the DNS that would be able to declare an HSTS like policy across an entire TLD. That would be something that, you know, maybe would be easier to communicate to the user community, that they know if they're going to a .secure or a .bank TLD, that there would be policy guarantees that all sites in that zone would have to be compliant with something like an HSTS policy.
There's a chair for you.
So I guess I haven't thought about it deeply, but I'm not against it. If a GTLD wanted to say, please apply HSTS for *.secure, absolutely no problem, I can do that. People have also mooted the idea of requiring all these sites to cert pin, or maybe saying only this subset of CAs can issue certificates in .secure. Totally fine building that in too. I don't think I've had any objections, but I must admit I haven't mulled it deeply.
I'm thinking the same thing. All right, I'll act as de facto moderator. If there are no more questions, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.